Namostu tasma upashanta shaktaye.
Namostu tasma upashanta shaktaye.
Varajadava prati puritatmane.
Varajadava prati puritatmane.
Guneshu maya rachiteshu ritibir.
Guneshu maya rachiteshu ritibir.
Nasajamanaya nabasvad utaye.
Nasajamanaya nabasvad utaye.
Namostu tasma upashanta saktaye.
Namostu tasma upashanta saktaye.
Svarajalava pratipuritatmane.
Svarajalava pratipuritatmane.
Guneshu maya rachiteshu ritivir.
Guneshu maya rachiteshu ritivir.
Nasajamanaya navasvat utaye.
Nasajamanaya navasvat utaye.
Namaha.
Namaha.
Our respectful obeisances.
Our respectful obeisances.
Astu, let there be. Tasmai, unto him. Upashanta shaktaye. Who does not endeavor to achieve anything else.
Who is free from restlessness.
Swaraja, completely independent. Laba, of all gains. Pratipurita,
fully achieved.
Atmane,
unto the Supreme Personality of Godhead.
Guneshu,
of the material world,
which is moving because of the three modes of nature.
Maya rachiteshu,
things created by the external energy.
Ritivi,
by such activities of the senses. Nasajamanaya, one who does not become attached, one who does not become attached, or one who is above material pains and pleasures. Nabasvat, the heir. Utaye, unto the Lord.
Lord,
who has created this mature world as his pastime. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. Let us offer respectful obeisances unto the Supreme Personality of Godhead, who is completely silent, free from endeavor, and completely satisfied by his own achievements. He is not attached to the activities of the mature world through his senses. Indeed, in performing his pastimes in the world, he is just like the unattached heir. Purport. We can simply understand that behind the activities of material nature is the Supreme Lord, by whose indications everything takes place, although we cannot see him. Even without seeing him, we should offer him our respectful obeisances. We should know that he is complete. Everything is done systematically by his energies, Parashya Shaktir Vividaiva Shriyate, and therefore he has nothing to do. Etasya Karyam Karanam Chavidyate, as indicated here by the word Upashanta Shaktaye. His different energies act, but although he sets these energies in action, he himself has nothing to do. He is not attached to anything. For he is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Therefore, let us offer respectful obeisances unto him. Namostu tasma upashanta shaktaye swarajalava pratipuritatmane guneshu maya rachiteshu ritibi nasajamanaya nabasvad utaye. Let us offer our respectful obeisances unto the Supreme Personality of Godhead, who is completely silent,
trying to figure out where it says in the Sanskrit silent. What's that? Free from endeavor and completely satisfied by his own achievements. He's not attached to the activities of the material world through his senses. Indeed, in performing his pastimes in this material world, he's just like the unattached air. Namo Om Vishnu Vidaya Krishna Prasthaya Buddhaya Srimate Bhakti Vedanta Swami Tanamane Namaste Sarasvati Deve Gauravani Vicharane Nirvishesha Srinivadi Paskya Dhyade Satarane. It's very similar to what Krishna says in the ninth chapter of the Bhagavad Gita. Starting from the first verse, Krishna says, Idam tu te guyatamam pravaksham anusuyave jnanam vijnanam saitam yajgyatvam moksha se shubha. The living entities in this material world, they're ashubha, they're suffering from different kinds of miseries. And moksha, how to become free from them, the principal word there, Krishna says, is anusuyave, because we're envious of Krishna. Therefore, we have difficulty taking up Krishna's service. That envy can be understood is that somehow or another we connect our problems, our sufferings, with Krishna. We think that somehow or another Krishna is responsible. After all, how could a good person create such a bad place? If he was really such a good person, then why did he put us into so many difficulties? Therefore, we have to find out what Krishna's personality is really like. Is he some faceless person sitting on a chair, condemning and awarding people according to his whim? Or does he set in very strict laws into motion, and you step one inch beyond the law, and immediately a big hammer comes from the sky and smashes you into a little pulp? Does he take pleasure throwing people into the burning fire? Is that the only pastime they really have in the heavenly world, the spiritual world? Is taking bad souls and throwing them into the burning fire and watching them, all the sparks come out? Is that the most exciting thing that happens in the spiritual world? Or is Krishna some kind of, you know, perverted god who tells everyone else not to do anything, but he winds up playing his flute and calling everyone else's wife to come and join with him? What kind of god is this, anyhow? So there are so many speculations about what God is, if there is a God, and if there is a God, what that God is like. Is he just all-pervading, impersonal? Inside of Krishna, there is the real control behind everything, which is practically nothing. So there are so many speculations. So here the demigods are giving their realization. As Krishna said in the Bhagavad Gita, if we understand him properly, then we won't become envious. And then if we're not envious, then we can actually engage in his devotional service. After all, God is Purusha, and we're Prakriti. That doesn't usually seem very nice. Why should he be the only Purusha? Why isn't he a more democratic? Why can't he share his position a little bit? Why does he have to be the only Purusha and everyone else has to be Prakriti? So these things are understood generally from our material conception of life. And therefore Krishna says, Idam tu te guyatama. Krishna is going to explain things are very confidential. But as long as we're envious of Krishna, we can't understand these confidential subject matters. But Krishna says if you try to take up the process of devotional service, Raja Vidya Raja Guyam Pavitram Paramam Uttamam Pravakshavagamam Dharmyam Susukam Kartum Avyayam. Devotional service can actually give us some higher taste, and it's joyful, and it's also gives us the ability to understand these confidential matters. And it's everlasting and joyful. It gives pravaksha vagamam dharmyam. It gives one direct perception of these realities. But then Krishna throws in another
statement, Ashvadadana Purusha, Dharma Syasya Parantapa, Aprapyamam Nivartante, Mrityu Samsaravartmane. Those who are on this path, Krishna says, Ashvadadana Purusha, those who are not faithful to this path, they cannot achieve me, and therefore they come back to repeated birth and death in this world. Therefore, those who don't have much of a taste for the subject matter, and Prabhupada explains that that's generally the Kanishta Adhikari, we're trying to take our material conceptions and understand the spiritual world through our material conceptions. Therefore, there's not much taste, not much faith. We're not that enthusiastic to dedicate too much energy in the service of Krishna because we're not really so sure what we're going to get back, if it's really worth the investment. Therefore, Ashvadadana Purusha Dharma Syasya Parantapa. Those who are not faithful in this path of devotional service, they can't actually achieve Krishna. Ashvadadana Purusha Dharma Syasya Parantapa Aprapyamam can't achieve me. Aprapya, not able to achieve me. Aprapimam nivartante mrityu samsara vartmani. Therefore, they follow the path of repeated birth and death. In other words, unless we fully dedicate everything we have into Krishna's service, we're going to come back again to the material world. Maybe, undoubtedly, if we're trying to perform the activities of devotional service, we'll make progress and we'll give another opportunity in the future to make further progress towards complete dedication. But as long as we're not completely dedicated to Krishna's service, in some position or another in the material world, we'll have to come back. And now Krishna will explain something about why we shouldn't blame him, because that's one of the main problems why we're hesitant to surrender to Krishna. We don't know what kind of person he really is. Is he a really super nice person? Is that why everyone's serving him in the spiritual world? After all, I think I was hearing a lecture today. And that Krishna is the only enjoyer, and that everyone else is meant to please Krishna. So that sounds pretty, almost like everyone is just like a slave, and they're just serving Krishna all the time. Everyone's suffering like anything, working hard for him, 24 hours a day. And only Krishna is happy and everyone else is miserable. He's the only one who's enjoying. Everyone else is suffering, working so hard for no pay. So what's the rush to serve 24 hours a day? Is that what the spiritual world is like? Of course, that's not what the spiritual world is like. But somehow or another, we mix up our material vocabulary with our spiritual vocabulary. In other words, enjoyer means the material world, the person is enjoying. Everyone else must be suffering. Because enjoying the material world means that there's, basically speaking, one living entity trying to exploit the other living entity. And if he can exploit the other living entity, he's enjoying, the other living entity is suffering. So if Krishna is the only enjoyer, that means everyone else suffers, according to the material conception. But actually, Krishna is the opposite of the material conception. Krishna simply wants everyone to enjoy, therefore he tries to control them in such a way that they become happy. And everyone else is trying to serve Krishna's desire so he can become happy. And when the living entities serve Krishna for his enjoyment, then they become happier than Krishna is trying to control them for their happiness. And those who serve those who are trying to help Krishna enjoy, they enjoy even more than those who are helping Krishna enjoy, because they're serving those who help Krishna enjoy. So the enjoyment in the material world is for everyone, but in the material sense, there's one person who knows exactly how to arrange everything for everyone's enjoyment, or at least who's the fountainhead of all enjoyment, and then unless he's enjoying, everything else is out of, no one else can actually enjoy. Just like the example is, if we supply food to the stomach, then actually all the different parts of the body are supplied. But unless the food goes to the stomach, no other part of the body will enjoy. In the spiritual world, everyone naturally knows that. If they love Krishna, because Krishna is all attractive, naturally he invokes their loving propensity. When Krishna enjoys their loving propensity, then they enjoy unlimitedly more than even Krishna does by experiencing his happiness. Even without trying to plan it out and trying to figure out how to enjoy Krishna's happiness, they naturally just enjoy Krishna's happiness, and they get more enjoyment than even Krishna gets. Therefore, Krishna says, Maya tatami dam sarvam jagada vyakta murtina matstani sarabhutani na chaham teshu vashtitaha. That by my energy I'm pervading everything in this material world. That all things are in me, but I'm not in them. In other words, Krishna set his energies into motion in the material world, and that although he's behind his energies, because they can't work without him, but he's still not there. Again, behold my mystic opulence. Although I am everywhere and myself is the very source of creation, still I'm not part of this material world. In other words, although Krishna is causing everything to go on, still he's aloof from it. Here it says he's just like the air. He's unattached like the air. And he says it's yoga aishram. It's his mystic opulence. So why is it mystical? Because Krishna says, Yata kasha sito nityam vayu sarvatrigo mahan tata sarvani bhutani matstani tipadarya. Just like the air is everywhere, but still always rests in ethereal space, to know that all things are resting in me. So everything's going on, and Krishna is the background which allows everything to go on, but still he's completely aloof from everything that's going on. So that's inconceivable. That's his inconceivable opulence. And it's, of course, we've probably heard before, it's inconceivable because air and the sky are inert. Therefore, naturally, there's no attachment. But persons, they naturally become attached. If you do something for someone, then actually you become attached to that person. And the person who's accepting the service or receiving the service, they naturally become attached. It's like a baby. A baby is receiving service from the mother. Naturally, the baby becomes attached. And the mother is serving the little baby, naturally becomes attached also. But Krishna, everything is going on in this material world, and he's completely unattached. And then he explains how much is going on. Sarabhutani kondiya prakriti jnani. Sarabhutani kondiya. Prakritim yanti mamikam kalpasheya punastami kalpadovi srijamyaham. That the material nature under his direction comes forth and creates unlimited universes. It's not just like some small endeavor, some small production. But unlimited universes flow forth from Krishna's body, and then not only once, but Prakriti Swama Vashtavya Vishri Jami Punak Punak Bhutagramami Mam Kritsnam Avasham Prakriti Vasha. Again and again the creation is coming. And again it's being annihilated. Again and again this is all going on and Krishna is simply sitting there aloof. So this sounds horrible. This whole creation is coming on, being created and annihilated, and Krishna's just sitting there, doing nothing, just causing the whole thing to happen. Therefore, Krishna says, Nachamatani karmani nibandanti dananjaya udasinadvarasinam asaktam teshu karmasu. O Dananjaya, all those work cannot buy me. I am ever detached, suited as though neutral. In other words, Krishna has nothing to do with this material world. We can't understand Krishna's intentions, we can't understand Krishna's mood, his mentality, we can't understand anything about Krishna by observing the material world. By our activities, we can't understand Krishna, what Krishna is like. Because he's just like the judge. The judge, whatever the judge is like, he has certain rules and order, the law before him, and he has to do his duty. He does his duty according to the laws. He may be a very nice person, but if a criminal comes before him, he condemns him to death. Not out of dislike for the criminal, but because he's following the law. If someone's asleep, they should stand up. You're hearing that about Śrīla Bhaktisiddhānta Saraswati Prabhupāda. So it was like that with Prabhupada too. He didn't like people to sleep. Krishna's like the judge. He's simply going according to the rules and regulations, the law. And if someone comes before him and he awards him a huge amount of money, it's not due to the judge's mentality, but due to the activities of that particular person. Therefore, Krishna is like the judge in the material world. He's awarding people their results of their own particular activities. He's neutral towards everyone. Here in the material world, everyone has come to become the enjoyer, that is, compete with each other, who's the supreme, and since time immemorial, according to how they're competing, Krishna is giving them different positions in the material world. The more one tries to lord over other living entities, the more one becomes a victim of the material consciousness. And the more one tries to take shelter of Krishna, the more one becomes aloof from the becoming victimized by material consciousness. But that's up to us, what kind of mentality we want to accept. Maya dakshena prakriti suyate sacharacharam hetu anena kundiya jagati pari vartate. This material nature works under my direction, producing all moving and unmoving beings, and by its rule, this creation is manifested and annihilated again and again. Krishna is in the heart. He understands the desires of living entities, just like one can understand the flavor of a flower by smelling it, and he awards them the results of their desires according to what they deserve. But abhijananti mamuda mani shrim tamam ashityam param bhavam ajananto mama bhuta maheshwaram. But when Krishna comes, they think he's just like another living entity coming to the material world to try to, who's going to suffer and enjoy the results of his activities. Therefore, Krishna says, they're mudhas. They can't understand Krishna at all. They don't understand his transcendental nature and his supreme dominion over all the being. That he's the one, he's the background by which everything's going on, but he's aloof from it. And when he comes, it's not for some material reason, it's to enjoy his transcendental pastimes, which are enacted on a different level. Here, everyone's trying to become the enjoyer, but because we're not constitutionally the enjoyer, we simply wind up the sufferers. But Krishna is the real enjoyer. And he displays what his transcendental enjoyment is like with the others who are properly situated in their proper position of serving the real enjoyer, Krishna. Here, we're trying to serve ourselves as the enjoyer in a false way by trying to gratify the senses in the material world, subtle and gross senses, which can't actually afford us any real happiness. So here, we're actually still in our same position as the servants, but here we're trying to serve dead matter, gross or subtle, and therefore not really getting any happiness from it, any real benefit from it. Instead of serving the real source of happiness, which will actually make us happy, namely Krishna. So Krishna comes and shows that if you serve me, then you actually become happy. But those who are mudas, they think his activities are just like ours. That he's just another person competing in the material world to become the enjoyer. Maybe a little bit better than everyone else, but after all, he's just another competitor. And he dies at the end, someone shots an arrow into his foot, and he dies anyhow, just like the rest of us. Mogaisha mokha karmano mokha jnana vichetasaha rakshasi masrim chaiva prakriti mohanim shitaha. Those who are bewildered by this demoniac and atheistic views, their hope for liberation, their fruit of activities, and their culture of knowledge are all defeated. No matter what one does in the material world to gain something, to understand something, their hopes, and to become free from their sufferings, unless one understands Krishna as the enjoyer and us as the servant, He'll always be incomplete. He'll never be successful, completely successful. Therefore, Mahatmanas Tumam Partha, Daivim Prakritim Ashitya, Bhajantyananya Manaso, Gyatva Bhutadim Avya. Those who understand Krishna properly and who are taking shelter of his internal energy, then the result is that they become part of his internal energy. They're called Mahatmas. Tumam Partha, Daivim Prakritim Ashitya, Bhajantyananya Manaso. They're always engaged in serving and worshipping Krishna without any cessation. Gyatva-bhutidem avyam. Satatam kirtayanto mam yatantas chadridavridaha namasyantas chamam bhaktya nityukta upasate. Always engaged in chanting Krishna's glories, endeavoring with determination, bowing down before him, these great souls perpetually worship him with devotion. In other words, our main business is to understand Krishna properly, to understand what this material world is, how it's related to Krishna, and not blame Krishna for our problem of trying to become the enjoyers and controllers in the material world. Instead, we should try to become Krishna's servant, and then we'll realize that actually we're not the enjoyers and controllers in the material world. We're just imagining we are, and due to that imagination, we're conditioned by the material nature and suffering here. Instead, we should wake up to the reality that we're Krishna's servants, try to desire in that way to utilize our body, mind, and his service. And then Krishna will adjust everything properly so that we're enlightened again. We're experiencing our original transcendental nature of awareness and bliss, perpetual awareness, ever-growing awareness and bliss in relationship to Krishna while engaged in his service. I'll stop there. Thank you. Any questions? Yes.
People living in switchboard, are they also Prakriti or they are Krishna? One is Lord.
Who?
The souls who live in Gita.
Although everyone is Prakriti except for every Krishna is the only Purusha. Shriya Kanta Kanta Purushab Kapataruvo Truma Bhumis Chintamani Garamai Tayam Amritam Kata Ganam Natyam Gamanam Apivangsi Priya Sakhi Chit Anandam Jyotiparam Apitada Svadhyam Apicha. So there it says Krishna is the only enjoyer. Shriya Kanta Kanta Parama Purusha Kapataruvo. Everyone else is enjoyed by Krishna.
Even the demigods.
Everyone, even, even you, you too. In other words, if Krishna is not there, if we're not trying to please Krishna, then we're wasting our time. And you try to please anyone, even yourself, you won't get anywhere without Krishna. That he has to be pleased, or else ultimately everything stops at Krishna. Anything that's done and Krishna is not pleased, then it's not going to be very auspicious. You may do things and other people will not be displeased, may be displeased with you. But if Krishna is pleased, there won't be any problem. And you may please so many other people, but if Krishna is not displeased, then you're in trouble. So that's here in the spiritual world too. So it's a good idea. Line up with Krishna. he's the big man. Yeah.
Can you read the last sentence of the translation again?
It's a big sentence. Indeed, in performing his pastimes in this material world, he is just like the unattached air.
The translation of the Prabhupada says that Krishna creates the material world for the sake of his pastime.
Yeah.
So did he create material world for the sake of his pastime or because of our envy?
Well, that is his pastime. This pastime is rectifying the fallen souls, bringing them back to the spiritual world. Waking them up again. Yes.
The world completely started. It should be completely independent.
Completely what?
Krishna is completely silent. Silent. Free from endeavor.
Completely what?
Silent.
Silent.
Silent. Oh, yeah.
Completely independent.
Silent in this, it means completely silent in the sense he's not doing any material activities. I didn't translate it. You know, this. Whoever translated it had an idea when he wrote when they translated it. Well, I don't know if we can say it's been misprinted or not. You'll have to go and check with the archives or something, see if they have a copy. In any case, it's not going to change the complete sense of. You know, that after reading this, we've figured out that Krishna actually isn't God. Or that actually he's not a nice person and we shouldn't really surrender to him. Oh, it's not going to change very much, whatever it says there. Yes?
At one point you mentioned how we can't understand Krishna by material work or using our material perspective.
Yeah, our personal experience. Material experience, that is.
We're wondering how to tie that in. The prophet sometimes makes an unusual comment that we can understand God by understanding by looking at ourselves. How far can we?
Not very far. We can understand something about Krishna, but as far as looking at ourselves means to look at our spiritual self. Or even if you want to take that this material world is a reflection, a shadow. But then we're seeing things not through the vision of our material experience, then we start seeing through the scriptures. In other words, then you're adding Prabhupada's instructions. But when we try to just independently try to figure out what God is like from our material experience in the material world, you know, God is a nice person because whenever I ask him for something, he gives me whatever I want. God is not such a nice person because sometimes he gives me things that I don't want. So we can't understand Krishna. We have to understand him through the scripture, not by our material experience, by our speculation. Now, when we understand it as Prabhupada or Krishna explains himself, and we understand that he's the judge, he's neutral, he's not responsible, that's not seen from our material perspective. That's seen from the perspective of the higher authorities. So that's how we can actually understand Krishna. After all, Krishna is there. Everyone's attracted to him. He's playing his flute, putting everyone in ecstasy. He's coming back from the pasturing ground. He's a coward boy in Vrindavan. Everyone's rushing out to see him. You know, not because if we don't rush out and see him that, you know, something bad will happen to us. You know, he's watching whoever comes out to greet him. And whoever doesn't come out and greet him, they're in trouble. It's not like that. So we may, you know, from our material experience, you know, the big boss, he's checking on everyone. He's in their heart, you know. Ah, you stayed home today, you didn't want to come out, huh? You're not invited for prasadam today. You can stay in your Chintamani castle and rot for all I care. No, that's our material conception. There, everyone's spontaneously attracted because Krishna is unlimitedly good, unlimitedly wonderful and loving. And he doesn't demand anything from anyone. Everyone's just completely enthusiastic to serve him. And he's enthusiastic to serve everyone. So how to conceive of such a person in the material, according to our experience, we can't. If we're always doubting, you know, how can Krishna be so nice? How can everyone be so enthusiastic to serve him? Why should I become that enthusiastic to serve someone? So many doubts will be there. So we can't understand it by our material experience in that way. Because we just don't have experience like that. I mean, even we have our leader, and you know, just like you have your prime minister here, is anyone here that enthusiastic to serve the prime minister? No, it's yes.
Like Peter says, those who are free from sinful.
Yesham antikatam tva papam Jatana Punya Karma Napte Dvandva Mamhanir Mukta Bhajante Mam Trida Vradaha.
Gaze of determination, is that sinful action? Is that knowing that paralyzed?
Lust? What to speak of lust? There's also anger and greed and madness and all kinds of things that we're afflicted by. We're bewildered completely by, not completely, as soon as we become devotees, we're not as bewildered, but we're still bewildered by our identification of this body, the false ego, and the different emotions and feelings and so many things that go along with that. Therefore, we don't know Krishna that well because we're covered by his illusory energy. And as soon as we get to know Krishna a little bit more, then we become more enthusiastic to get him to know him more and more and more. We find out he's better and better than I thought he was. And then when we find out, we get a little glimpse of how nice he is, then one becomes completely wild. Yeah. Well, better than we know him now, I would say. Yes, I understand him through his pure devotees. Everyone has a different perspective on Krishna, and all the pure devotees, they have a different perspective on what Krishna is like. Here are the demigods praying from their point of view, so we should understand that. They're certainly higher in conception than we are of Krishna. And this is similar to what Krishna explains in Bhagavad Gita. So we have to understand it from the point of view of the demigods, how they're seeing Krishna, and from the point of view of his other devotees. Gradually, we have to raise our conception of Krishna until ultimately we come to how the gopis are seeing Krishna. Pure, selfless devotion that the gopis have. Right now, we're not in that mood, nor are we still have the intelligence of the demigods either. So we have to raise ourselves to these conceptions. In other words, we have to get to know Krishna from others who know Krishna more than we do. And those who know the devotees of Krishna more than we do. Anything else? Okay, thank you very much. Grantharaj Srimad Bhagavatam Ki Jai. Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. Gaur Premanande.
Just one announcement. We're seeing a proposal that Hari Nam in the city tonight. Give out prize for Rocky Atlas late night shopping there. Those devotees who would like to go, leave here at 6 p.m. tonight. Be back by class.
Hari Nam Ki Jai. Hari Nam Ki Jai.